This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Johnson floats it in for Aidan Flint! They've done it!
Gregory is in the box, tries to screw him. Is it going to be there?
Yes!
Oh my word! Come it's on!
In! You're listening to the number one pod for Sheffield Wednesday. This is the Wednesday Till I Die podcast.
It was a huge game. Without a shadow of a doubt, the biggest game of the season. We've not only bottled it and lost the game, we've been absolutely humiliated. And I feel that that could be it in terms of any chances of survival this season. Hello and welcome to the Wednesday Till I Die podcast. I'm James Mappin and this week I'm joined by Alex. Alex, first of all, how are you? Had a decent weekend? Oh, other than the football, of course.
Yeah, it's been steady away, mate. What about you?
Yeah, it's been decent. I mean, today I've done probably one of the most dullest but yet most satisfying things that you can do. I've been to the tip. I know it sounds really boring, but it's one of the things
when you get there,
you have that urge to just throw whatever you're chucking away as far and as hard as possible. And you just get your anger out. And if there's anything there that can smash, you make sure that it smashes into 1,000 pieces. And even better still, if there's something that someone's already put in there that can be smashed, you aim for it. And I don't know why it is. You just kind of have that kind of urge to do it. And everyone listening will be probably thinking exactly the same. You cannot just go there and just place it in nicely. You have to, like I said, you just have to lob it as far as you possibly can. And also, you have to do it in as least trips possible. I don't mean back home and back. I mean, you've got to pick
cars touching wheels.
Yeah, no, you're picking everything up. You've got all your hands full, everything. You know, you cannot be going backwards and forwards, you know.
So when you're bringing shopping in, isn't it? You've got a bag on every finger.
Why is it you do that? It takes you longer to load everything up than it does actually, you know.
It hurts as well.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Amount of times I've can't even lock the car. I ain't got enough hands and fingers and whatever to do it. But, you know, I've no idea why I do that as well. It's just like subconsciously, you just have to do it. It's mad. All good. I seem to have calmed down a little bit after yesterday. Obviously recording this on Sunday night. I was there at the John Smith Stadium. I don't get to many away games, but, you know, it's one that I've never done before. You know, the Gal Farm. Is that right?
Gal Farm at one point. It must have been some years ago, that.
Yeah, I was looking. I didn't realise it was as old as what it was. I mean, I say old, like 1994, I think it was built.
Looks fairly modern though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I always call it the poor man's Reebok, not knowing that the Reebok was built after and by the same people. So tick that one off. That were, you know, as I said, I don't get to many. I think the one I went to this season being Leeds away. So the two local-ish ones, but not seeing a win away from home. To be fair, even if you've gone to all of them, you're not going to see many wins away from home, are you? But no, it was it was all right. I mean, I'd have preferred not to gone. You know, having something to eat beforehand, I should have stayed there and not bothered about the football and had a few more beers. But it were just, do you know what? One of them where, I mean, obviously we'll get onto the game in a second, but it was just, I just felt embarrassed by it all. I just stood there. I mean, I stayed right until the bitter end. You know, I can't berate people for leaving early and then not do it myself, you know. So I was there right until the end. But no, people that left early, I do not blame them one bit. But you just, you know, one of the biggest games.
It's the embarrassment of walking out and everyone, because you literally walk away with the home fans at Huddersfield. So 4-0 and I can sort of feel it's not good walking for a car park together, is it?
No, it did feel shit and what have you. You know, they're all jumping for joy. You know, it felt very much like Barnsley last season as well. That one the same, because, you know, you're walking again with all the Barnsley fans and there, you know, they've just won the cup final and everything. And it just didn't feel right. But, you know, like I said, it's a stadium ticked off, innit, at the end of the day, if anything else. Let's get on to the starting lineup then, Alex. Three changes from the side that drew 0-0 with Watford in midweek. In came Michael Ahekwa, Pedersen and Smith. Out went Famewo, Johnson and Windass. It was Beadle in goal, Valentin, Ahekwa, Bernard and Pedersen, Palmer and Bannon, Gassama, Ugbo and Masaba, and Michael Smith leading the line up top. Alex, what did you make to that lineup overall when you saw it? You know, when it comes out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, were you pleased? Were you shocked? What were you like?
No, I'm not really shocked. I mean, Smith over kind of match against a young defence, I just don't get, because Smith, I mean, he can finish Carty, but running ability, it's about, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? Let's be honest, against a fast defence. But on paper, it looks like a fairly good team. Like, you look at it and you're not disappointed, but you're not like, it's a steady team that should, on paper, be competing. It's like, if you could write a team that you'd want, barring Smith, for me, I'd maybe put Callum Archer starting up front over him, but other than that, it's a fairly solid team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there was no Johnson, there was no Windass either. I mean, on the Johnson saga, I mean, Danny Rill said he's picked up a bit of a little injury. Rumours are that he's got face on for not being allowed to go to Ipswich in the January transfer window. I mean, if it's the latter, and I hope that it isn't, then for me, he's kind of done, to be honest, which is a massive shame. Yes. Because, for, you know, I do think he's, you know, he's one of the most influential players that we've got, and especially, you know, again, we'll come on to it in a bit, but in terms of crossing the ball into the box. Well, he's the only one that can score. He's the only one that can cross the ball into the box as well. We haven't got anyone else that can do it in the way that he does. You know, Paul Valentin ain't going to do it on the other side. You know, obviously Marvin Johnson can. Gassama and Masaba aren't renowned for their crossing ability. They're more, you know, inverted wingers.
I don't think I've ever seen Gassama, cross a ball. He just head down and go.
Exactly. Which, so I did find it a bit strange that we went for Smith, because, you know, Smith, he's tall, he's fairly strong. You know, I know he's not scored many goals with his head, and, you know, famously missed a few against Ipswich, which you perhaps should have put away, that people still berate him for. But I just feel that, I don't know, that the whole lineup did not really make sense. It was almost like he'd made his mind up, and then the Johnson thing was kind of a bit of an afterthought at the end. And, you know, I think we missed him massively, in terms of Johnson, just lacking that kind of that cutting edge. And I know,
getting forward.
Yeah, and I know he sometimes frustrates people, and, you know, he frustrates myself, especially when we're kicking towards the cop at home and he's on my side and he's there in front of me, and it is a bit frustrating when you think, you just get forward. But, you know, I thought that we massively lacked that, to be honest. And, you know, I had a bit of a rumour before kickoff that was going to happen, that Marvin Johnson weren't going to be playing, and I was just hoping and praying that rumour were wrong. But, you know, we'll see.
I don't think it's the first time we've heard stories about his attitude, though. I heard quite a few people in that Discord chat saying the same as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, with the whole Cisco Munoz thing and being frozen out. And I mean, look, if you know, if it is that he has got face on and stuff, I mean, I know football is a job to the players. You know, it is, when it boils down to it, it is just a job. But for all the, you know, all right, it'd been treated poorly by Cisco and everything else, but I think the fans, you know, kept behind him, you know, all the way through. And if it is that he's, you know, refusing to play, which, like I said, I really hope it isn't, and I do hope it is just an injury that he has picked up in training. I just feel like that's just like two fingers up to the fans more than anything else. I know it's two fingers up to Chancery and everything else, you know, for not letting him go, if that is the case, of course. Just want to stress that that's not, you know, it's just rumours at the moment. But like I said, we did hear that before kickoff, and then, you know, he didn't start. But yeah, and it just leaves a bit of a poor taste in my mouth. And the fact, even though we missed him so much, in me, I just think, like, that's it, you're done. If that, you know, if that is true, what's actually happened, I don't think you can come back from that personally. If you, it's like the whole Forestieri saga,
if you're
isn't
refusing
it?
To protest it, yeah, it's just it, once a player gets that mindset, it don't matter how good they are, for me, it's one of them where, see you, like, do you know what I mean? I'd rather not have him around the team. When you're in a relegation battle, you don't need someone walking out pitch not wanting to be there.
That's it, exactly. This is more than ever where you need everyone to come together as a team. And, you know, look, like I said, I think we've heard it before about his attitude, which surprises me, really. He doesn't come across as that sort of person that would do that. It's not really, it's normally the flamboyant ones that you know, kind of get a bit of a strop on and stuff. But he doesn't strike me as that person, which does make me, you know, when I first heard about it, I was like, really? Like, it just doesn't seem that type of person. I mean, the other one that was missing that I thought we missed a lot of, and, you know, every time he doesn't play, we do seem to struggle, is Josh Windass. I mean, that it is a huge blow, isn't it, when Josh Windass is not playing. He came off at half time against Watford. But
Windass is one of them players, he might not do out for 70 minutes, but then he'll go do something ridiculous and he'll get a goal. And he's just always one of them players you want to have on the pitch, isn't he? Like, we know he's probably a bit too good for the team. So
yeah,
when you have got him there, obviously you want to keep him there.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 37 goals.
Is he another one that's...
Yeah, I'm just saying, he's got 37 goals, 54 goal involvements in 129 appearances for Sheffield Wednesday since he came to the club. So it's kind of one in less than three games, you know, either a goal or an assist. So he is vital. But I had a look at some numbers as well, and I mean, he's in terms of full seasons that he's had at Sheffield Wednesday, he missed five games in the first one, 37, this is league fixtures, by the way, 37 in the second season, 12 last season, and he's already missed 10 games so far. Now, obviously, he could miss it for other reasons, but 9 times out of 10, if Josh Windass is not playing, it's not because he's not being picked, it's normally because he's injured, you know, because for me, Josh Windass plays.
For me now... Yeah, I mean, I love Josh Windass, obviously. Who doesn't? Who isn't involved with the club? But I think it's time to cash in on him, if I'm honest. Like, I don't think he really cares about playing for Wednesday anymore. I mean, obviously, he doesn't go about it that way. Obviously, he still puts himself about. But I think if anyone bigger than Wednesday came, I think by the end of the season, he'd go.
Yeah.
So I think we need to cash in on him. I don't think he'd play in League One again if we did get relegated, put it that way.
Yeah, it's a funny one with Josh, because he does give across them sort of vibes when he's playing on the pitch and everything. But speaking to people that like know him personally and everything in training and in his personal life, he's really not that type of person. Like, he does really care about his football and everything else. But I do kind of agree with you in a certain way that the way that he conducts himself on the pitch and everything, he does give them, like, I think fans are right to think that way about him, you know, whether that's right or wrong, and we're just getting the wrong signals from him, but it does feel that way. And for me, what's that saying? It's a player's best ability is their availability. And I was looking as well. He's missed 64 games so far in his Sheffield Wednesday career. So he's not played in 64 league games, which, again, like I said, it might not, every single one might not be because he's injured. It might be because he's not being picked, but I don't think
two seasons, isn't it? Well, nearly.
Well, yeah. It's one and a half seasons. He's played just 112 league games. He's missed 64. So on average, he plays two and misses one. Like I said, it's they might not all be down to injury, but I bet you that the vast majority are because he's injured and not because he's not being picked. If Josh Windass is fit, he plays every single week without fail. And
he got his first name on team sheet for me, but I just think it's time now to. I don't want to say it because obviously I'd love as a player you love him, but you can just tell he's past his Wednesday peak now. Do you know? Obviously he gets his goals and his assists, but as a player, I just don't think he's too bothered anymore. I might be wrong, but it's the rumours and everything you hear about him. And if we can cash in on him now for a couple mil, I'd definitely do it.
Yeah, for me, it's. Obviously, January transfer window's gone now, isn't it? So we have to wait until the summer. But for me, it's not really the that he's past it or anything like that. It's more the it's more that when he's not playing, we miss him so much, and the team is affected so much by him not playing. Which I know, we shouldn't just be a one man team and everything else. Very much like when Barry Bannon don't play, we seem to struggle. But thankfully Barry Bannon's available pretty much every single week. I just feel that because he's missed so many games in his Sheffield Wednesday career, you can never guarantee that. Well, he's never had a season where he's not picked up some sort of injury, and I think he's going to be out for. I've heard a couple of potentially a couple of weeks. I know Danny Rill said he might be fit for Friday, but we'll have to just wait and see. I'd probably bet on him not playing. Windass never really come. When he does get injured, he never really comes straight back. It is normally a couple of weeks.
Right, slow start,
at least. And I don't think Danny Rill likes to chuck players in. He probably didn't want to chuck Pedersen in, if I'm being perfectly honest, having only had one day's training with the team and everything. But it just frustrates.
It looked like it had one day of training all season.
Well, it did. We'll get onto that in a second. But I do just think with Windass, it's one of those where, because we miss him so much, I'd rather us have a team kind of without him.
You want to have someone there. Like, I get it that we need him, but if you can get someone who's there season, someone who's not going to pick up an injury every month and miss two games, especially in a time like Christmas and New Year when you need to push on as a team and you get your best players injured, it's just annoying. And it's every season with him.
Look, I'm sure he don't want to be injured. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure he doesn't want to be picking up these stupid injuries and stuff like that. But I think it's like the whole Massimo Luongo thing as well. We didn't keep him, in my opinion, because we couldn't guarantee that he could stay fit. I think he's one of Ipswich's best players now. He stayed fit ever since he's gone there.
I've seen him play.
Not even picked up an injury.
Just think what they're doing in training.
And so everyone's thinking, we should have kept him and everything else. But you make that decision at the time that it's not quite worked at the club, and you'd rather bring someone else in. We brought Volks in to kind of replace him, and it's I do kind of think the same. I can't.
Windass as well. I can't imagine he's on. I can probably imagine he's quite one of the highest paid as well.
Yeah.
So if he's missing all these games and you can get someone in who could do a similar job, not miss any games and maybe not be on as much money, it just helps everything as well. I don't know. I don't want to say because I don't like Windass and I don't want him to leave, but you've got to think about it from a club perspective as well.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about the game then. Well, even though we might not want to, the absolute drubbing by Huddersfield. Alex, does Danny Rill need to take some blame for this defeat? Because, it has been very much, Danny Rill can do no wrong, and rightly so. The positivity that's come in since he's been here and how different we've been playing. But, I suppose the manner of the defeat, we just absolutely collapsed, didn't we, in that second half. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
He's got to take some. He's the manager, isn't he? And he obviously set us up. It's his team set up, and obviously he's saying what he's saying. But the players aren't good enough. You could have Pep in charge of us, and I don't think we'd win a game. It's just ridiculous.
Do you think Danny Rill has to take some blame, or do you think it's all on the players?
He's got to take some blame, of course. I don't know. It's an hard one because he's not been with us that long. We've all fallen in love with him because of obviously we've won with him. But as a manager, I do think you've got to take some
I don't know the word, but
I suppose responsibility,
responsibility for the some responsibility for the game. Of course you have, like Smith. Well, then again, who else are we going to put front? Like Cadamarch is very good, but he's very ripe, isn't he? Like in the Yorkshire Derby, is he going to put himself about? So Smith maybe is the better option, but we haven't got the players as either. Like,
yeah, I think for me,
so it's a bit of a both, isn't it? Really,
yeah, for me, I think he has got to take some of the blame. You know, I don't think he's blameless. I think, obviously, we went one goal down and the way that we just folded like a pack of cards, you know what I mean? Like, it were crazy. And I think, is that him being a little bit naive in that, you know, because we were, you know, all the goals, other than the first one, which obviously was from a corner, all the other goals were caught on the counter-attack. Every single one was, you know, it was almost like one-on-one. Running through, and that's obviously because we're pushing to try and get that equaliser, which, you know, I suppose he's damned if he does and he's damned if he doesn't. You know, if he doesn't push on and he kind of sits back a little bit, we're going to be saying, come on lads, we're 1-0 down, we know we're going to lose this and we're going to be 8 points behind them. As it happened, you know, we've kind of gone for it, and the worst thing imaginable has happened, hasn't it? You know, we've conceded a second goal.
It's just a freak 12 minutes that probably won't happen again all season, or to any team. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's mad because I didn't see a 4-0 coming either. Obviously, I was there. I mean, the view I had was awful, by the way. You know, on the second row, you know, you can hardly see when things are down the other end. You know, like the chance that Ugbo had, we'll come on to in a second. You know, you've no idea where it's gone or where he's hit it from, or anything really from where I was. But, you know, over the course of the game, I thought, to be honest, I thought the first half, as much as we weren't fantastic, I thought that we were doing all right. And
we were a better team, if I'm honest, in the first half. It created a bit more.
But it were two teams that you could tell that were where they were in the league. Like, you could tell that they were both bottom.
Poor quality of game, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I didn't really know where the goals were going to come from either side, to be honest. And the fact that, I mean, I was shocked when I saw the possession at the end of the game, and we had, you know, nearly 60% possession over the course of the 90 minutes, which I thought were baffling, really. It didn't feel like we'd had that much possession at all. You know, we dominated it in the way that we had. You know, obviously, you just look at the scoreline and you think 4-0. But I just didn't think it was a 4-0. I don't know about you.
No, I don't think anybody would have expected a 4-0 there, to be fair. But if it were going to be anything, it'd be like, you know, Ugbo had that chance in the first half where he like tried to kind of back heel and it nearly scrambled and keeper got there. I thought if it were going to be a goal, it'd be something like that, you know, and it'd be a 1-0.
Yeah.
Then whoever scored it puts 11 men behind the ball. But 4-0.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't think it reflects the game, if I'm honest. But
no,
like the stats show itself. Like,
for me as well, I think we were, I don't know what it is, we've almost become frightened to shoot at times. You know, there were moments where we've got the ball on the edge of the box, Bannon a couple of times had it, and you're thinking, just hit it, just shoot. There were one, I think it's 0-0 at this point, and he's tried to slip Ugbo in, or it might be Masaba, one of the two, and He's just crying out to hit it. And I don't know why we've become almost frightened to shoot. I mean, we've scored the least amount of goals in League One, and it's plain to see that, you know, there's a reason why we're like that, and why we're not, you know, not scoring as many goals, because we're not taking the chances. You could argue that we're sometimes a little bit unlucky, but I do feel like they should just have a go and have a shot. I mean, saying that, Palmer had one, didn't he, in midweek against Watford that he went out for a throw-in, so maybe not everyone there should have a shot. But, Alex, it was the most important game of the season so far, and we just bottled it, mate.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? We just bottled it. And in a game, like, me personally, I think that's defined a season. Do you know what I mean? I do, honestly. I think Birmingham have hit a bit of form. They're winning games, are playing a bit better. I think they'll turn us over on Friday. So now we've just made it 10 times hard for ourselves with a team that really doesn't really have any depth. And yeah, it's just...
Well, I was going to ask you the question, Alex. Might as well ask you it now. Like, where do you stand on the whole kind of, are we going to stay up, are we not going to stay up scenario? I mean, and what were you like before the game?
My heart says yeah, but I think my head is saying no, probably not. Like, I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? We might win 3 on bounce and then we're well up there again. It just all depends on other teams. But QPR are winning games. We're forgetting that QPR actually there with us as well. Like, it's not just Huddersfield. Like, we can't just look at Huddersfield because QPR are there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I put a tweet out earlier on. I put, we've got more chance of blank than staying up this season. I'll read a few out. Ben said winning the FA Cup. Bamford said winning the Champions League. There's quite a few saying winning the FA Cup. Rich has said we've got more chance of platin fog than staying up this season. Craig said reasonable season ticket prices. Paul Richardson said more chance of Bannon clearing the front post from a corner than staying up. A few people saying platinum fog, winning the lottery. One said finding rocking or shit on the moon. There's quite a lot of people.
What do you reckon? Do you think stay up?
I think I'm in the same camp as you. My heart is saying, you know, look, we come from 4-0 down against Peterborough, where everyone had written us off then. But by God, we are making it hard for ourselves this season. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to be this hard. You know, there was an opportunity.
It doesn't at all.
There's an opportunity on Saturday to get within 2 points of Huddersfield. I know you've mentioned, you know, QPR there as well and everything. And as it turned out, you know, QPR would have gone ahead of Huddersfield if, you know, obviously they beat Blackburn and everything. But, you know, there's a chance of, all right, we'd have been 3 points away from safety with a win. As it turns out, we're now 8 points. We're 5 points off of QPR. We're 8 points off of Huddersfield. In the last 10 games, the gap hasn't got any closer. We've matched Huddersfield in terms of points won in the last 10. You know, another 10 games, we're nearly at the end of the season. Like, you know, there's 16 games left. So
there's only 16 games left. How many points do you reckon we're going to get out of this 16? No, really, like realistically.
I don't know, but not enough. You know, we've got to be 1 point every 2 games better off than what Huddersfield are. Like I said, over the last 10, it's been exactly the same. All right, before Saturday's game, we were 3 points better off. But the fact of the matter is, over the last 10 games, we have got the same number of points and we're no closer. The
thing is, as well, now, like Hillsborough at the minute, it's like the atmosphere is awful. Like, only when we might win 2-1 bounce, it's a bit busier, but it's quite. You can have a full on conversation with your mate next year in a normal tone. And it'd just be like, so I dread to think what it's going to be like on Friday. Do you know what I mean? And that doesn't help.
I think that. With the atmosphere side of things, I think there's just now a sense of just apathy. I think everyone's just had enough of it. Nobody's angry anymore. Everyone's just like,
it's just whatever.
It is what it is, which I think is really sad, really, that people have got to that point. There, you know, there will be some people that's angry. There were a lot of angry people in the crowd on Saturday, you know, when goal number 2, 3, and 4 went in, you know, progressively less as people had left, like, but, you know, there were a lot of people there getting, you know, mightily pissed off. And I was one of them. I was getting annoyed and everything, but it was weird driving home. I said to Steve, I'm not angry anymore. I'm just a bit
disappointed.
Like, yeah. Don't ever say that to your missus. If, by the way, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed, you know. But, you know, it was just one of those where
it's kind of expected that it's going to happen and there's still a chance of it not happening, but we kind of all have accepted that this is his fate. Like, and it is sad, really, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, players come and go, managers come and go, but we're always going to still be there. So,
yeah, that's it, isn't it? We are the constant.
It's rubbish that we have to sit and feel like this for players that are on a lot of money and don't really go on when they're, well, maybe some of them, but some of them will go on, throw the boots down, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, just
like, oh, I'm pissed off arguing.
Just on that as well, you know, I do think, you know, we'll come on to like the transfer window and everything else, you know, when we do extra time and you know, after this one. But just one thing, when you look at loan players, and we've got 7 loan players on the books at the moment. You know, Hendrick is one of them, which I know some people have kind of forgotten about, but there is 7 loan players. There's also a lot of players this season that weren't there last season. You know, your Diabis, Masaba, Gassama, Ugbo, obviously, who was on loan, Deshaun Bernard. You know, the list goes on of the players that weren't there, you know, through the League One days and through the, you know, being top of the league and then nearly throwing it away and coming back from 4-0 down and everything. You know, I know the likes of Windass and Palmer and Bannon are still there and everything, but I just feel like because that squad's been totally decimated, I know obviously Byers has gone out on loan to Blackpool as well. Because of that, you know, I don't want to say they don't care, because I've had this argument with Giles when he was on the podcast, and he's like, they do care. You know, you care for any club that you play for, but
they don't get the passion. That's how it is.
That's what I mean
for me. Like
they've not been there when it was crap. When it was crap last season, when it was crap last season, and we were losing, and we were like, you know, the chips were down, and we were, you know, Ipswich were slowly getting away from us, and Plymouth were doing the same, and you're thinking, you know, we're going to slip, we're going to miss out and stuff. They were the players there that dug deep, and you know, and like I said, came back from 4-0 down against Peterborough and everything. So they've got that kind of belief. Whereas these players, I know there's some that has, you know, there's some that's still there. But the vast majority, you know, Smith can't get a game, and Gregory, he's just in the abyss, isn't he? You know, he's not going to play for Sheffield Wednesday ever again anymore. But then when you look at those, like I feel like you need those players to dig in and to grind out the results and have that belief.
Been through for Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know whether because they've not been here, they're not quite like that. Right, let's talk about, you know, what actually happened in finer detail. I mean, the first half, I thought that Huddersfield shaded it, although we did have some decent chances to score. You know, we had kind of two in quick succession, didn't we? You know, Ugbo had an effort that was deflected over the bar. You know, good work from
he's so frustrating as a player. He puts himself in good positions, right? And I think, you know what, it's all right. And then he'll just shank it or roll it to Keita. I just think, mate, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, he's been unlucky. He's at the post.
So annoying.
He's at the post twice. He's kind of missed from about 5 yards out when it probably easier to score. He's getting closer. You know, Tom Lees, of all people, that deflected it over the bar. You know, he's getting closer. He's getting chances and everything. And, you know, like I said, I was at the other end and I didn't quite see it. But it was from that resulting corner that, you know, Bannon put it to the back stick. Michael Ahekwa, again, he's another one that, I know he's not played a great deal, but I feel like he's, you know, knocking on the door. He's going to get a goal at some point. But there's a lad on the line that cleared it away. And again, from the other end of the pitch, I had to watch the highlights to kind of see exactly what happened and how close it was. But, you know, we did have chances in that first half, but they had chances as well, didn't they, Alex?
Beadle pulled off a quite good save in the first half. Like, I think he got down to his near post. It's similar to when he did at Watford midweek. He did the same, man. Yeah.
That was the one where Pedersen just were running through treacle, weren't it? And Thomas had him on strings. He were getting past so many times down that right hand side. It were, you know, I think it was only a matter of time when I thought that Thomas were going to score. It was funny. I think
he that they were trying to hit that wing.
Yeah.
Throughout game. So
I think it was that chance that you're on about where Thomas then actually gets called for being offside. You know, when they recycle the ball. I watched it back. I mean, at the time, I was like, I've no idea. I ain't got a clue. I've watched it back on the highlights. he's about 4 yards onside. It's unbelievable because he's running back from being offside because obviously he's had his shot. He's gone off the pitch and he's come back on. But he's miles onside. The fans where I was sat, the home fans to the left hand side, were absolutely, you know, were up in arms about it all. And obviously it's hilarious, isn't it, when fans, you know, start having a go at, you know, ref for decisions and stuff. But to be fair, they fully had a point because he was never offside.
Miles off.
Yeah, he was. What did you think at half time, Alex? It was 0-0. I mean, like we said before, we didn't envisage a 4-0 drubbing, did we, really, at half time?
You see, it's one of them, you think, because it's a derby, you think, oh, it could happen. Like, anything could happen here, but maybe not a 4-0 hammering, but we'll get a goal. Don't worry about it, we're still in this game. And But then at the same time, thinking, but where's this goal going to come from? Like, who's going to get us this goal? Like, Masabra and Gassama can score, but there's nobody where you think he'll cause a problem him and he'll score out front. Like,
I thought Smith needed to come off.
Still be playing now. If Smith was still playing now, I don't think he'd have scored.
No, I mean, me and Steve turned to each other and we were like, Smith's got to come off. It's just not working. Nothing's sticking. It felt like he didn't win one header. I mean, I've not looked at how many headers he did actually win, but he didn't feel like he won many, or, you know, the ball weren't, he wasn't holding the ball up like he normally does. And that's the reason why he was on the pitch, weren't it? You know, we tried to hit him with a few long balls and stuff, and nothing was staying up there. We're coming straight back, and he were having a really tough time. And I just thought we need to do something a little bit different, you know, whether that's push Ugbo up there, Bannon into
the
10.
Fletcher up front. Like, I'd rather have start. I mean, I know he puts himself about. Like, he puts himself about. I mean, he's absolutely useless at anything else, but
Christ.
At least he'd have had a go.
I would never have thought they'd be saying Fletcher ahead of Smith ever.
Exactly. This is how bad it's getting in this club. But he'll have put himself about a bit. And I mean, I know he's about as useful as a fucking chocolate fire guard, but Smith just does me head in, mate. Honestly, he annoys. I watched him at Leeds away and I just thought, what are you doing, mate? Like, you're not. I mean, I probably don't mean to be like that. He's probably proper trying, bless him, but he's shit. In the Championship squad, I think he's not good enough.
But that's what it is, isn't it, mate? Like, in League One, like, he's on fire. You know, 20 goals a season for the past two seasons in League One. I almost kind of think there's a little bit of a reason why Rotherham didn't fight too hard to kind of keep him, you know, because knowing that, you know, he's probably not really going to cut it in the Championship. And look, he's not been given the fairest crack of the whip, you know, if you know what I mean. He hasn't played every single week, and under Danny Rowe, he's not really being picked at all, really, to be honest. You know,
surely that's the way to make you think, you know what, it's a Yorkshire derby, I'm going to have a go here.
Yeah.
Not, well, whatever. Well, he probably didn't even mean to be that way out or look that way, because he's probably trying, like you say, but
yeah,
he's just not good enough.
I don't think we played to his strengths yesterday at all. Like I said, you need
Johnson. I think we've got two wingers that have got quite a bit of flair as well, like Masabra and Gassama. You need a striker that's going to dart around box and get on end of these crosses or make, you know, for cutbacks, and he just stays there. And
but they're too far away from him. Alex, they're too far away from him. Masabra and Gassama are miles away. They've got choke on the boots because they want to stay wide and they want to pick it up and cut inside, you know, cut inside the 18-yard box and have a shot, like, you know, just like the two goals that Gassama scored. That's where he wants to be. But when you've got someone like Smith that's going to be, you know, a bit of a target man, they've got to be closer. They've got to be closer to him to feed off him.
I mean, someone like Smith, like, you'd start Johnson to get a ball into the box.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Obviously, other than if he's injured, obviously he can't help it, but if he ain't and it is the latter, what's the point? Because that was his name, Pedersen. Jesus Christ. I think it took him 20 minutes to load across up.
Yeah, he did. I think, you know, I said to Steve, like, let's see what this Pedersen's like at putting a ball in, and he did, and it got blocked, and I'm like, well, not very good, clearly. You know, we'll do you know what? Like, if people have come on this, you know, to listen to this, to hear an air of positivity, then, you know, they'd be mightily disappointed, because it is just, you know, I do try and be positive about things, but I'm finding it very, very difficult. And it's like, you know, you've got to laugh, because if not, you'll cry, kind of thing. But
it's weird that we're all, like, there's a big, I mean, there will be people angry, like you said earlier, but everyone's just kind of in this mindset now where it's laughable. We know what's, like, what to expect. So when it does happen, we're kind of like, well.
Do you think that'll help in a weird way, Alex? Do you think that'll help, the fact that there's zero expectation now? With these, like, last 16 games, it's like we're almost expecting now as a fan base to not do it.
Yeah, I think we've kind of, I think deep down, like, we have all kind of accepted as fate. But if we stay up, it'll be like, oh, well, fucking hell, we didn't expect that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll feel all right. But do you know what? Do we want to stay up if it's just going to be like this every season?
Do you know what I mean? We are going to talk about that later on Extra Time, because I'm feeling exactly the same about you, Alex. I feel like it's just going to be rinse and repeat. you know, each, you know,
but when Leeds go up to Prem or United go up to Prem, it's nice, isn't it, to see a few decent strikers, but when they're putting eight past you, you just don't want to be there. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, Huddersfield spanking you 4-0, you know, it kind of, you know, when it was Southampton, most people kind of accepted it, and it were like, look, they're a Prem side, they'll be going up into the Premier League next season. When it's Huddersfield, who are literally, you know, 5 points away from you and battling relegation with you, that's when you just cannot take it whatsoever. Let's talk about the some of the goals then in the second half. There is four of them. None of them for us, of course. Matthew Pearson scored the first one. I mean, first of all, what a delivery from the corner, by the way.
Very good. But what Masaba marking him, I think.
Well,
he didn't jump.
He didn't do anything.
He won't go offside.
This is my pet peeve with marking from corners. They've no idea where the ball is. He didn't have a clue. He was just trying to block him off, and he just did neither. You know, he didn't look at the ball. He didn't block the man. He did neither.
But should the keeper be coming there as well? He's in in between. I just wish we'd have a keeper, right, who would catch a cross barring Westwood. I can't remember the last one.
Yeah, because it landed kind of 6-yard box. My mantra is, you know, 6-yard box, it's got to be yours. Do you know what I mean? You take ball, man, everything. You've got to come for it. He's 6'6" as well. I mean, I was going to ask you, could Beale have done any better, but I kind of already know the answer.
I mean, he did nearly save it, to be fair. He got close to it, but come get the ball, man. Like, you're a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Punch it. Take your man with you.
It was funny, actually, in the warm-up before the game, he was practicing punching from crosses from either side. So, yeah, maybe he perhaps could have done that.
Well, that says everything about Sheffield Wednesday this season, doesn't it? Let's be honest.
For me, though, it's on Masaba. Like, it's not even, like, when you see it come across, you're thinking, how did he score from this position here? But then, you know...
Just make it hard for him, don't you? Even if you don't want to head the ball, just make it hard for him. But you didn't, you stood goal, you're not even goal side, and it just hit his head and went in. I think, mate, got to do something.
And do you know what? One of the worst feelings at the football is when you're away from home and you just hear all of the three sides of the ground cheer.
It's like a pause, isn't it? It's the net. It pauses for a millisecond and it just goes wild and you just fucking... Oh,
it's horrible. It's the worst sound in football when the opposition are cheering and what have you. It's horrible, but... Well, we didn't have to wait long to hear it again, did we? Like, literally, I didn't know what hit us. I think they were still cheering from the first goal, like, when they scored the second, and, you know, they were in absolute, you know, cloud nine.
Thought they were Brazil, didn't they? It's fucking ridiculous.
It's annoying as well, because honestly, they are shit as well. Huddersfield are shit, but...
The full club, the fans, the ground... It's just a shit club. I hate, honestly, mate.
You're from up that Bradford way, aren't you? You're from up that way,
yeah,
aren't
I'm
you?
From Bradford, mate. So Huddersfield, honestly, the most sad, deluded fans ever. They're awful.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I can't even say what those damn just 4-0. Like,
yeah.
I'm getting tagged in WhatsApp group after, because all footy groups in our town, and I just thought, whatever, I'm not even opening it.
Put it on mute for today. Yeah, I'll see it tomorrow. Today. Yeah. The second goal, yeah, like I said, it came... Well, the first was on 68 minutes. The second was on 70 minutes. Gassama gets caught in possession. Like I said, we were obviously pushing for that equaliser. I mean, all our players are in there half because, the ball, you look at it and you think, offside, it's got to be, but he's still in his own half when the ball gets played. An excellent through ball. We've left Ekwa one-on-one with Karoma.
Yeah, because not going to beat Karoma in a race, is he?
No.
Do you know what, as well? A lot of people probably wouldn't fight this, but I think Beadle should have come further out and just put it on. Like, he had all the time in the world to put the ball back at net. Like, I know it's not Beadle's fault, but as a keeper, I think he should have just closed him down, put him under pressure. He could have hit him anywhere, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, do you know what, it's one of them ones, because then he does that later on, doesn't he? And then gets that wrong. It's just...
His boot went... His boot nearly come off, he tried kicking it that ass.
Yeah. I think... Do you know what? Beadle will be going in thinking, Christ, everything I've done has just not gone right today. It's just one of them games, isn't it? But, you know, like I said, it was a foot race between Karoma and Ekwa. There's always going to be one winner.
He could have walked faster, couldn't he?
Yeah, Karoma did everything right, though, didn't he? He's cut across Ekwa, made it difficult for him. You know, in my head, I was thinking he's just going to bring him down. And, you know, in hindsight...
It's like you say, with that concentrate on going forward at 1-0, it's still 68 minutes in the game. Like, it's not dead and buried there. Why are we so far up the pitch for a player to run through? And then you kind of think, well, I mean, I know no one's expecting it, but you're three men there still.
Yeah. And
they're all pretty much on the halfway line. Like,
do you know what? That's where we miss the Domaiofa, innit? Because if Domaiofa was there instead of Michael Ahekwa, he'd had no chance. He would have caught him up and, you know, just took Nick Ball off him, but it wasn't. And is that a bit of, you know, is that a bit of a mistake? Well, it is a mistake, obviously, but a mistake kind of leaving Ahekwa one-on-one. You know, you're hoping it's not going to happen, you know, when you're doing that, but it did. And
well, when you're centre backs, you're pushing forward, you seem to think you'd probably leave Bernard but furthest back just in case that happens. Not, I mean, Heck was a good player, don't get me wrong, but he's not as fast as he's not one of them players who's going to sprint to a tackle, and he's just a kind of steady defender, like centre back.
Well,
like
Karoma, even though he was controlling the ball, actually got away from him. He was pulling away from him, which you don't normally see that, you know. As you're trying to, you know, control the ball, you do tend to slow down a little bit. You know, like I said, that second goal went in and that were it. It was game over. Absolute game over already, straight away. I mean, we've only come back from behind twice, I think it is, so far this season. We've won one and we've drawn the other one. Every other time we've gone behind, we've lost the game. And, you know, for it to go, you know, 1-2, and then it was 6 minutes later and it's 3-0, It was embarrassing the way that in our, you know, biggest game of the season, it wasn't the biggest game of the season because it was Huddersfield and it's, you know, a bit of a local game. It was the biggest game because it was a chance and a massive 6-pointer to actually
kick on and survive.
Exactly. And we've just, you know, again, I think it's a needless...
We've crumbled, haven't we? That's bottom line. We've crumbled and we've bottled it.
Apple crumble. I got tagged in a few of them.
Apple crumble,
a few times. But, you know, I think it's Deshaun Bernard who gives a foul away. And then there's a few players that are chirping at referee and they see it. And they see that, I think it's Thomas who had Pedersen on toast. And it was, again, you know, he found him one-on-one with him. It's a long ball, just took everyone out of the game.
Misjudged that. A football at that level should not be misjudging that ball that bad.
Do you know what someone said on Twitter? That you'll see these goals. He says you'll see these goals tomorrow, meaning Sunday, you know, up and down the country. They are like Sunday league goals, just a long ball through or a through ball, just took everyone out of the game. And this one, I mean, his first touch, you know, it's all right. It's not a great first touch, to be fair. You know, he probably could have done a bit better. But then, you know, Beadle's rushed out. It's, you know, you could argue he's gone too...
I don't know what he would do in there.
He's gone too near post, hasn't he? He's gone...
Ridiculous.
But no, he's just passed it into the net again. And
It's like the players that just accepted we'd lost already after that first goal.
How many goals have been mistakes? Because you know that the first goal, you know, we've just not marked him properly enough. You know, if he's not a worlder, you know, like the against Coventry, Ben Sheaf, you think you hold your hands up and go, it's a great finish, you know,
fair enough. Yeah.
But you know, from the corner, that's a mistake. The second goal, the fact that we've just left him, you know, open as wide
just
open.
Defending, honestly, it is. At a championship level, defending should not be that bad. And the good defenders as well. It's like, shouldn't be that easy. It's like, you're just letting it happen.
Joe, you know, Alex, I think the fourth goal, I'm surprised I've not seen the goal with the Benny Hill music put to it, because it certainly felt that way. It was literally a catalogue of errors, weren't it? They were Deshaun Bernard, awful, awful back pass. I don't know who he's trying to pass it to, whether he's trying to pass it to Ahekwa, whether he's trying to get it back to Beadle, wherever he's trying to kick it, it don't get there.
Like, he just didn't want the ball.
Yeah. And then Beadle misses it, doesn't he? He don't get there first. You know, their lad, I think it's Karoma again, who gets there. And then, you know, fair play to Michael Ahekwa. He does as much as he can. And at that point, I thought, oh, they've fluffed it. They've opened net and they've missed it. But Then Beadle runs into their player. Then he kind of does a bit of a dive when he's not shot, and he just sent him for an hot dog. And
if you don't laugh, honestly, you just. It's just outrageous. Well, I think Beadle nearly tore his hammy when he tried kicking that ball. See how hard he tried kicking that ball?
Yeah, I think he would have cleared stadium if he
disappeared.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, but this all happened in 12 minutes. All, you know, we've gone 68 minutes of it, you know, a few chances, but not many. You know, it looks a fairly tight game. Two teams that probably were playing... You know, I don't think they were playing to draw, but it were two teams that, you know, didn't want to lose in terms of how they were setting up and how they were playing. And then in a matter of 12 minutes, I've never seen anything like it in my life.
I swear to God, I watched games with my dad, and my dad's like the old school lad. Anyway, it would just get the different. Do you know when you go to like B&Q and you see different shades of red on thingy? I kept like looking over, and every goalie was a different shade of red. And he didn't say much to my dad, and there were just veins in his head and everything. And a lot of lads who he has working for him are all Town fans, and I could just see it in his head. And I just thought, I'm not even speaking to him.
Yeah.
He was just...
Finished up honestly, looking like Alan Brazil. Come the end
of it. I've got a serious heart condition come end again.
Oh, yeah, honestly.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything. From which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Like I just wanted the ground just to swallow us up and everything. But like I said, I stayed until
you know
the,
what? Look, usually, end. I'd be so angry at that score. Do you know, like last season, if we'd have got hammered 4-0 by Town, you're angry all weekend. But now look, we're just laughing about it because it's kind of yeah. We just know that something like this is just going to happen to us, isn't it?
I know. Yeah, it's just an horrible, horrible feeling. And I just felt that, you know, that they would have had a bit more about them to have prevented that. And you know what as well? I've not really heard many people mention it. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh, but at the end of the game, I mean, there wasn't many people left there anyway. At the end, I said to Steve, I said, I'm going to wait. I just want to see what the players do. I just want to see what they do with the very few fans that are left.
Did they come over?
They did, but that's the point. It was very, very half-arsed. I didn't see Danny Rill. If he did come over, I didn't see it. I don't think he did. I think he just disappeared off, which I thought was a bit poor, really. You know, I love Danny Rill. I think he's fantastic and everything. It's great when things are going well, but I think, you've got to show it when it's poor. And look, it's going to be shit. They're not going to come over and get a round of applause, are they? To be fair,
you just do your bit, though, don't you? You just do what you've got to do there as a player.
Well, Jan Pavada was the first one that came. I don't think he even shook anyone else's hand. He just come straight over and fair play. You know, he did get he didn't get a chorus of boos. He got a few claps, which I think you've got to do. Really, he's only just signed on Thursday. You know, he only came on for 10 or 15 minutes. I thought he looked quite bright, to be honest, as well. You know, one of the few bright sparks in what were a dismal performance. He came over. Palmer, he started walking over, but I don't know whether I want in. I didn't want like an apology or anything. But I thought
you just want them to show a bit of sympathy for the fans that are sat there.
Yeah, and just take that. And just take it as well. Come over. You know it's going to be crap.
Take the hammer in.
Just come over, stand there, and do your clapping and what have you. Kind of do a bit of a sorry, and then walk off.
Especially the manager.
Yeah, you're gonna get both barrels. You know, you're gonna get some abuse ill that you're like. It's only natural. Like I think that the annoying thing is we've paid our hard-earned money to come and watch that. and they've just not turned up. You know, we've done our bit. We've turned out in our numbers. I think they were probably, what, 4,000 Wednesday fans that were there possibly for that game. Look, I know it's not very far. For some people, it's probably even closer than...
It doesn't matter, though, does it? A lot of people who go to football can't really afford much else. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just show a bit of respect. Like,
yeah, I just thought it was a... like I said, I don't know if I'm being a bit harsh. They did come over a little bit. I mean,
no, I think you're right.
Bannon come over, and he, you know, he clapped, but there were some that just didn't even bother. I mean, Reece James did. I think those that came off the bench were probably a bit, you know, it's easier for them because they weren't there, you know, they weren't them from the start kind of thing, and everything. But I just felt that for me, I wanted them to come in. I mean, I
just want to show them that they actually care that we've turned up. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, look, I were on the second row. I were on the second row. I didn't look behind me. I don't know how many people were left. There weren't many left. That, you know, by the end, there was one kid who stayed until the end. About 6 years old. He were giving it the wanker signs to the fan. He were no older than if he were 7 or 8, I'd have probably said all right, but he were no older than 10. Do you know what I mean? Like, his mum were there, she weren't really bothered, and I was like, Jesus Christ, you know, even if, like, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. Like, he's standing, you know, giving it a bit all large to away fans and everything. I thought, Christ, like, but anyway, it made me chuckle as I were walking out. Right, league table then. I mentioned it a few times already. We're 8 points adrift of safety, 5 points behind QPR, who were in 22nd. I mean, Millwall, Swansea, Blackburn, Birmingham and Stoke all lost. That 16th down to 20th. Huddersfield obviously won, and QPR, who incidentally played Blackburn, that was another kind of 6-pointer down at the bottom. So yeah, only two teams won from 16th downwards. So again, a chance to have, you know, picked up some points, which we've missed again. You know, it just feel like there's been a lot of those missed opportunities so far this season. Right, I'm just going to do the 3-word match review, and then we'll get on to some of the player performances and have a bit of a chat about season tickets and things like that. Let's read some of these 3-word match reviews out. By the way, there was 151 comments after the game on that 3-word match review. So I'll read a few out. Peter said, been here before. Gareth, get Warnock in. Nah, I don't think change it manager.
He won't come in here.
Nah, I don't think change it manager. We're not at that stage. And I can't believe that people... I know we've given Rule a little bit, but I think it was kind of justified. But I have seen some comments which are just absolutely laughable, to be fair. Ben said, gutless, gutless, gutless. Neil Dunn said, F off Chancery. James, he only needed one word. He just put wank. Stuart said, what a load of shite. Sidis said, relegated, Chancery out. Richard, no goal threat. Ross, one to forget. P Green said, Wrexham away, incoming. Steve Redfern, League One football. Harvey, League One pending. Adam Dallimore, big game capitulation. Yeah, I have to agree with that one. Bart Beresford,
straight. Big word.
Yeah, big word. Yeah, but it's still only three. League One incoming. Hello, League One. League One tour. Down and out. Prem prices. League One. Nah, he's cheated there. He's LG1 he's put instead of League One, but we'll let him off. But yeah, a lot of people just saying we're going down and everything else. Like we said before, just that sense of apathy really across the whole.
Do you think us believing it as fans, and do you think it plays a part on the players, us knowing, like us already thinking that we're down? And obviously players will see it online and managers will see it. Do you think it plays a factor on, like, oh, well, everyone's accepted it, so have we? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. For me personally, I'm one of them people whereby if everyone's written me off already, I'm like, I'm going to prove them wrong. That's kind of my mentality. I use it as a motivator more than anything else. You know, if when people, you know, are saying you're shit, this what, you know, if you're kind of not confident about something anyway, you know, if it's something you've done for the first time and someone says you're absolutely shy, you think, well, I'll probably not do that ever again because, you know, I'm not very good at it. But these are professional footballers. They're not shit at the job. Like, they, whichever way you look at it, they might have, a, you know, an off day or an off season or whatever, but they look back at their...
Professional for a reason, aren't they?
Yeah, they look back at their career and they're in that position for a reason because they are good enough. And... yeah, I get that everyone says all this negativity and stuff. I'd be like, just use it as a motivator. Just use it as a way to actually go out there and be like, you know what? All the fans have written us off. A bit like Peterborough. Everyone has written us off. You know, let's just prove them wrong. And look, it's not impossible. Until it's mathematically impossible, like, there is still a chance.
Still possible, yeah.
It's 8 points, like you just said as well earlier. 3 games, and that's the difference done. The problem is we're asking to do something that we've not done all season. You know, we haven't won 3 games in a row, I don't think, or have we? Maybe once. It might be once in all competition.
Football's that fickle. If we beat Birmingham on Friday, we're gonna be up there again. Like in a morale, like the other day we were all writing up like the Discord chat. Everyone were going, "Oh, nothing's happening," and then Pervada and. Thing he signed, and everyone going, "Oh my god, yeah." Well, you know, it's so fickle, his football. Like we're so shit now. Then we win on Friday, and everyone's going, "You know what? That we could do this." And I think,
well, yeah, they've got Southampton, I think, on Saturday, Huddersfield. I know there's QPR in the mix as well, and they've got a fairly, you know, easy run of fixtures. But you're right. Come Saturday at 5 o'clock, we've won on Friday night. They lose against Southampton, which is probably gonna happen. You know, right. Famous last words and all that, they'll probably get a win now. But, you know, if it goes to form like it normally does, then we're status quo. We're back where we were, you know, on Friday night last week, if you know what I mean. It's still exactly the same, and it, you know, all is not lost. There's still a lot of football left. I think the thing is, though, you know, the fact that the gap hasn't come down in the last 10 games, it is still 8 points. It was 8 points 10 games ago. We're no further forward in kind of... getting out of it, and it's mad as well how it's changed. It could have been 2. It's now 8. Like, that is, when they say it's a 6-pointer, that there's proof there that it definitely was. And yeah, maybe, you know, no pressure on him and things. He can just go out there and play the football, and, you know, and maybe we can do it. Just want to talk about a few players, although we've kind of touched on him. All really, you know, we've already talked about Pedersen, that I don't think is much better than Reece James. That Jan Pervada, one of the new sign, we didn't see a lot of him, but what we did see of him, I thought he looked quite bright. You know, Momo Diaby took it off his toes at one point, and I didn't know, Momo were a bit annoyed at that one.
I watched him a few times because a lot of my friends are Leeds. So we watch games, you know, in the out, and I thought, you know, he's good. And it's exciting to have him. Do you know, on Friday, I'd have Gassama, Musaba and Pervada, your top three, just run at them. Just run wild. Get into that box and see what happens.
What? As in, not a 4-2-3-1, but just a 4-3-3 and have them
4-3-3, let them free. Musaba in middle, Gassama on it, one wing, Pervada on the other. Just cut inside, run at him, and let Musaba try and have a go in middle. Yeah. I think he's been up top a couple of times off bench, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's not a bad shout, to be fair, and it, kind of like the whole Man City no striker formation, you know, and they can all kind of interlink and interchange, can't they? You know,
well, we didn't have a striker on Saturday, so I don't think he's used to that.
Well, we know how that one ended. Just before we talk about. The Birmingham game on Friday night, and of course we've got Coventry on Tuesday night as well, which I keep forgetting about the replay of the FA Cup. I mean, we're going to be talking about the transfer window and Chancery and everything in extra time, so do head over to patreon.com/WTRD pod if you want to listen to that one. I've also seen on social media as well that, you know, people saying that those that have renewed the season tickets are part of the problem, and it's kind of got me back up a little bit, that comment, to be perfectly honest, and people that are digging people out. I mean, I know 1867 group have reared the head again, and they're organising some sort of protest for the game on Friday against Birmingham. And then, you know, that's kind of sparked all these comments and people saying, you know, those that have bought the early bird season ticket, you know, all you're doing is, you know, you're part of the problem, you're lining Chantieri's pockets, etc.
You don't think about doing it for that reason, you know what I mean? You do it because you support Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
You don't do it because you think, oh, you know what, I'm going to put a bit of money in Chantieri's pocket here.
Yeah, I do it because, I mean, I've renewed my season ticket. I'm on North Stand. I've got, you know, got another season ticket for next season. League One could be, probably will be, you know, whether it's Championship, whatever. It's nothing to do with that. It's the fact that, you know, I enjoy going to the football. I enjoy, you know, that game yesterday.
It's a safe haven, isn't it? Like,
yeah, that game yesterday, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it at the end. It was horrible, that second half. It was, but I'm now looking forward to Friday night. Well, I'm looking forward to Tuesday. We're playing Coventry. I'm looking forward to that. I'm not going, but I'm looking forward to watching it. I'm looking forward to you get that buzz and that excitement.
Football is one of them things, right? You have a shit day at work. You have a shit week at work. I'm off to footy on Saturday. Me and lads, it's a safe haven for everybody. Like, it's one thing in your life that you're always going to have, unless Chanzeri runs us to ground and we get liquidated, but we'll not think about that yet. But it's always that safe haven. You're going to have players come and go, managers come and go, owners do. But you're always going to be a Wednesday fan, like, so.
That's what I mean.
You're always going to be there.
And I'm, like you said, I'm not thinking that I'm putting money into Chanzeri's pocket. I'm getting something out of it in that I'm going to the football every single week. I've got 23 home games to look forward to next season. You know, I'll be looking at the fixtures when the fixtures come out. Obviously, I do this podcast, so, you know, we're talking about it every single week. You know, that's not just the only reason. You know, I went to the games before I started doing this as well. Like, I just enjoy it from a life perspective. I go in, you know, I go with my father-in-law. My dad sometimes comes as well, and I know a lot of people, you know, it's passed down in generations. You know, they take their kids, you know, they go with the dad, and they'll go with, you know, they might even go with the grandparents as well, or they certainly did at some point, you know, and that gets passed down in generation, and it's something that you'd always do. And I'm sure all the people that have renewed the season ticket will have had, you know, I don't think there's gonna be many new season ticket holders, I'll be perfectly honest. There might be a few, but more often than not, you know, it's just going to be the same people that just keep renewing the season ticket season in, season out, year in, year out, and it's because it's a way of life. And I mean, I suppose the question is, Alex, like, what is it? You know, where's it got to get to hurt Chantieri the most? If people are wanting him to leave and stuff, does it have to get to that stage where people just stop going?
Emotionally stable in his head to think that I don't think anything would, like, unless obviously we're making nothing from it and it were starting to really do him in financially because there were nobody there. But that's not Sheffield Wednesday's a big club. There's always going to be season ticket, like, there's going to be people at the game enough to keep the club going. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think that any protested, I mean, I don't know how bad a protest to get, but I just think he's that arrogant in himself that nothing will push him. I think he thrives off people not liking him. I think he's a bit of a weirdo, if I'm honest. Like, I think he enjoys the fact that people don't like him.
Like, yeah, there is people like that, isn't there? I don't get it. I don't get that, mate.
People are emailing him and he's arguing with him. The guy owns a football club and he's just openly sat there arguing with people.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah, obviously we've seen some more, haven't we? Some more emails that have been flying around and everything, and I just cringe when I see it, really. Do you know what, obviously I talk to other podcasters, you know, when doing their preview shows and stuff, and they always ask me about the chairman, like, every single one, because they know how much of a nutter he is, just especially.
Honestly don't know any club that you could speak to, right, that you'd say, oh, I emailed chairman and we were arguing on Saturday night. And people, like,
people were saying,
what are you talking about?
They were arguing with him on LinkedIn as well. Like, Snap. I mean, I think they were saying that they'd argue him on Snapchat as well.
The owner of an established football club that has been for years. Don't argue with people, mate. Just ignore it. He loves it, honestly. He's a weirdo. It's like he just likes the fact that we all hate him.
Yeah. He's a strange one as well. And being, you know, obviously he's from Thailand, and I didn't think he'd be like that. I mean, I think he's really proud, and I think he does take offence to people not liking him, but I just don't think he's I just don't think he's helping himself, really.
And what about all that at the beginning of the season where he had Munoz next to him and Munoz had just signed and he just made it about him? And I just thought, it's like sort of WWE. I just thought, what's going on here? And it just set the tone for what we're about to fucking go on for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's no surprise that what's happened this season, is it, really? Let's talk about Birmingham then. Let's just touch on Coventry, though, because obviously that's on... tomorrow, as people listen to this on Monday, or maybe it's even happened, you know, and what we're about to say means absolutely nothing by the time you listen to this. But I mean, I'm not going to go into too much depth because I'm, you know, quite frankly, you know, it was fourth time that we've played Coventry and I'm a bit sick of them, to be honest. But how would you want to approach this game on Tuesday night? Obviously, we've got Maidstone in the next round, another home tie, if we can get past Coventry. Obviously, this is at their ground at the CBS Arena. How do you want them to approach this one now, Alex?
I'd probably rotate the squad a little bit. Definitely give Reece James a chance to prove himself that he can run. Because that's about... He could have put a road corner left back on Saturday, and I think it would have been all right. I think Dawson has to go in net for me, just to give him a little bit of game time. Beadle's a decent keeper. You can tell he's not a rubbish keeper. Like, you can tell he's got it, but how old is he? I mean, he's young, isn't he? And 19. He's in a relegation battle. Like, he's 19 year old in a relegation battle for a big club. At least Dawson's a Wednesday fan. Like,
yeah.
Even when he's down the dumps, he's a Wednesday fan. And it might just have that little bit more heart, like you say, like the players from last season. He's from Sheffield and he loves the club. Like,
yeah.
Then again, he'll go do some absolutely outrageous on Tuesday and I'll hate him again, so...
Yeah, are you one of those, you know, do you want us to get through to the next round or are you one that thinking, you know, what if you lose, you're not really bothered?
Do you know what? If you'd have won on Saturday, I'd probably been like, you know what, yeah, let's go for a cup as well. Like, we're doing all right here, winning games. Let's try and win as many games as we can while we are. But knowing us, Massaro will get injured or something on Tuesday and... It'll just set tone then, and then we've got another problem to add on to everlasting problems that we've actually got going on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's for me.
It's one of them. I would like to get through, but
I totally get where you're coming from, Alex. Like in terms of we need to stay in the Championship, but for me, I just think we haven't won a game now in what we lost to Southampton, we then lost to Coventry, we then drew to Coventry. We've then drawn to Watford. We've lost to Huddersfield. That's five games now in a row that we've not won in. And we had a decent spell before that, but we've now gone five. We're out of winning all competitions. I just feel that getting a win on Tuesday, however it comes about, would just lift not only the fans, but the players as well, like in terms of a morale booster. Obviously, the fan, you know, we'd be buzzing because then you're looking and thinking, Maidstone in the next round. I mean, look, absolute banana skin, by the way, if we do get through on telly as well. Like, you know, the writing is on the wall. Well, yeah, it's written in the stars that one's going to be an absolute nightmare. But, you know, law of averages says that, you know, we'll probably get past that. And you think, you know what, it could just be that little boost that as a club you need and everything.
Yeah, of course.
And I just feel like, I mean, I've flip-flopped a million times. I mean, if you'd asked me this last week before we'd played Huddersfield, I'd be like, I'm not really bothered about the cup. We can just go out. I don't really care. You know, focus on the league. But I just think that a win, you know, everyone talks about the momentum and stuff, and I just think the win will be absolutely massive. And it would just, you know...
The morale would, yeah, of course.
It could just kick us on. And I think as fans, we need something like that because at the moment, we're just, you know, if we don't get a win...
But at the same time... Is he going to think this himself, play a strong squad, and then they're knackered on Friday?
That's, you know, it's the million-dollar question, isn't it, really? Like, that's what you've got to do. My only saving grace is that I feel like we can rotate the team, and because they have been rotated, you know, throughout the season, because it's not been a settled side throughout, there's no one player that's not... No, there's not a player that's not played much. Gregory is the only one who you'd said that, you know, hasn't played any football so far this season. Everyone else has played, you know, five, six, seven, ten, you know, I mean, even more. Yeah. Arby's
the
played
professional footballers at the end of the day. I know lads that play five a side four times a week and pay a fiver for it, and the sound come Saturday league football. Do you know what I mean? They're athletes. If they can't play on a Tuesday night and then play again on a Friday night,
there's something seriously wrong. It's 90 minutes, you know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. I think, like I said a few times, it's all trickled down, isn't it, from Klopp and Pep and everything, that they play too many games and stuff, and they should want to, you know, they should want to play on Tuesday. They should be thinking, you know what, we could get quite far in FA Cup here, you know, we could be to quarterfinals, as, you know, as shit as this season's been, like, we could have something to shout about, do you know what I mean? But look, we'll see what happens. It is Birmingham then on Friday. I've just had a quick look at them. Tony Mowbray's in charge, their third manager this season. Their form, I know you said they've picked up a few points. The last five, it's draw, loss, draw, one, and then a defeat. They lost 1-0 away to West Brom this weekend. I know they won the one before that. I think that was before the FA Cup. They beat Stoke 2-1. They drew 2-2 with Swansea. They lost 3-0 to Leeds, which is no mean feat, really. I think everyone, bar us, loses to Leeds. And then a 0-0 draw with Bristol City. So only one win in the last eight. I mean, last time we played him,
yeah, we could win, really, let's be honest, like, and we probably will, and then it just makes Saturday even more frustrating, because you think, why, like,
yeah, I mean, it's just going back to the one earlier on, you know, at St Andrews, you remember that it would ruin his first win that he had, you know, Charity FC rolled into town, Byers scored, didn't he, in what, 45th minute, I think it was, to make it 1-0, and they scored that absolute worldie from edge at box, Bakuna with an absolute rocket in first half injury time, then their lad James came on to make it 2-1. It was funny, that one, because he brought him on and I looked and I thought, oh, he's crap him. He's not scored in however many games. He's not very good. Him, next minute pops up, bang, 2-1. You're thinking, yeah, famous last words. Are you just going into Friday's game thinking, it is what it is, or you know?
No, obviously you want to. I mean, I'm going, like, I want to see us win, and I will sit there for 90 minutes whether we're getting hammered or we're winning. But we're all in that mindset, like, where we're either going to play really well and be like, well, why don't we do this all the time? Or we're just going to get hammered and we're going to be like, here we go again. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's frustrating. It's a game that we probably could win. Like, I watched us at Hull when we beat Hull the other week, and I thought, oh my God, like, how are we not a mid-team table? We're playing so well, like, we're battering them. And then week after, we just go and do whatever we... And I just think, that the cows are so far between what we're doing here. There's no in-between, like...
Yeah, there's no real kind of consistency, is there, with the performances when you look at it? Because, you know, you look at Watford, and for all, you know, we thought they were poor, I think you have to give us some credit sometimes. It's always easy to say that, you know, that team was shit, but, you know, it's never, we've made them look shit, if you know what I mean. And I thought, you know, Watford, I think they were 10th when they played us in midweek, and we made them look, you know, very ordinary, and they were, you know, they were very poor. They just, you know, gave us a lot of respect, to be fair, and we just couldn't really finish them off and everything. And you look at that performance, you know, we've gone toe-to-toe with a team that's 10th. You know, you could have easily said that, you know, we were a side that could have been mid-table, really. And then we go and do what we've done at the weekend and put in a performance like that and just absolutely crumble. And there's a reason why we're down where we are. You know, it's because of the lack of consistency in terms of performances and stuff. That's why we are, you know, right. There's probably one man that's to blame for where we are, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, it is just that, really, and just really, really frustrating. Alex, I'm going to tie you down to a score prediction then for... We'll skip Tuesday. We'll not go for FA Cup. We'll just go straight into Friday night's game then. What do you think the score is going to be come, you know? What?
Do you know what? I think because it's Wednesday, and I think because we just do it all the time, I think we're going to win 2-0. Like, we're just going to make ourselves think, why have we just done what we've done? Like, we've just... And then... Us as fans will all be like, oh my God, yeah, we're all right now. We're going to stay up. We've got this. And then, honestly, because it's just Wednesday, it's a Wednesday way, we'll win 2-0, play well, and make all us think, yeah, cheers for that, lads.
It's back on.
So, 2-0.
I'm going to go for... I'm always Mr. Optimistic, but... I don't know. I'm really conflicted about things. You've said we're going to win. I'm going to say it's going to be a 1-1 draw. We'll be winning 1-0 and we'll do some right daft mistake, you know, 88th minute or something like that, we'll just do something stupid. And
who's going to score us goal, Gordon?
Who's going to score goal? It's going to be... Bannon's not scored for a while, has he? He's not scored for ages, actually. I think Bannon's going to, you know, he's going to be listening to this one and he's going to hear what I said, that he should have had a shot from edge of box, and he's going to hit one. He had a good inning midweek against Watford, keeper pulled off a decent save. I think he's going to hit back at net with one on Friday night. Look, he's going to get a man at match, and he's on Sky, so it's nailed on. Barry Bannon winning man at match, and he always does.
All my mates always go, oh, Bannon, how have you got Bannon? He's amazing. Do you know, everyone ever watch him when we're on Sky? No, yeah, but it's not always like that, lads.
Yeah, Joe, as well, just before we finish, I found it so funny that Huddersfield fans, all they kept singing was, Forestieri. And I'm like, mate, he's not played for us for probably 7 years. Like, we really don't care. Like, we're not bothered. It's like, he doesn't. It's not, you know, what's all that about? Like, living.
That's why I recite back to shit club. They've even got shit band, see what I mean? The club is horrendous, mate. I hate them.
Honestly, but it's not even relevant. Like, it just proves that we're living rent-free in the red, that we're remembering someone from so far back, do you know what I mean? Like, you know.
They missed a penalty once, mate, honestly. Yeah. They are the worst set of fans on earth.
At least sing about Jordan Rhodes or someone like that. At least he's a little bit more relevant, seeing as he played for them more recently. But yeah, I just didn't get about that one at all. But,
honestly, it's like when they get a throw-in in their own half and they're going, and I think it's not even in your half, lads. Like, why are you so excited? Honestly, mate, idiots.
I feel like I've touched a nerve, Alex, with that one.
Honestly, I just feel talent, man. Honestly, horrible.
Right, we're gonna wrap things up. If you want to listen to Extra Time, we're going to be summarising the transfer window and talking a little bit more about Chancery, then do join us, patreon.com/WTRDpod. Alex, massive thanks for joining me this week. Do really appreciate it. Hope you've enjoyed it, pal.
Yeah, mate, it's been good. It's been fun.
Well, as fun as it can be when you've got beat 4-0. Yeah. You know, I remember when I was messaging yesterday saying, podcast is going to be fun, mate, you know. But like I said, you've got to laugh or else you'll cry. Again, massive thanks, everyone. And we'll see you all next week. Fingers crossed, hopefully. We've had two wins. We're still in the FA Cup and we might be a little bit closer to survival. Chances are none of that will happen, but we'll still be here. So we'll see you all next week. Cheers, guys.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.